Ellen White alters her practice. The reader will recall that in her distress over the manner in which some influential workers in the cause had kept a knowledge of testimonies of counsel and reproof they had received secret, and had often ignored them, Ellen White concluded that she must make some matters public that she wished might be handled differently. After expressing her perplexity as to the right course to follow and still fulfill her commission, she declared, "My course is now clear to wrong the church no longer. If reproofs are given, I dare not commit them alone to the individuals to be buried up by them, but shall read what the Lord has seen fit to give me, to those of experience in the church, and if the case demands, bring it before the whole church." She stated that she would keep such things secret no longer, for God's people must know what the Lord has been pleased to reveal, that they be not deceived and led astray by a wrong spirit. This is precisely what she did as she penned the articles for testimony number 6. Many of the messages had to do with the spirit and actions of close friends, those who had been and were working closely with her and her husband. In dealing with the subject of organization and pointing out that matters of the church must not be left at loose ends, she declared, "I was shown the wrong stand taken by R. F. C. Cottrell in the review in regard to organization and the distracting influence he exerted. He did not sufficiently weigh the matter. Testimony for the Church, 6-4, 5. An article in the heart of the pamphlet opened, "I was shown that the Spirit of God has had less and less influence upon SWR Rhodes, until he has no strength from God to overcome. Self and self-interest has been prominent with him for some length of time. He has been exacting, which has encouraged a spirit of fault-finding in the church." Ibid. 627. In the article Fanaticism in Wisconsin we read, "God sent his servants to brother and sister Stewart. They despised correction, and chose their own course. Brother S. was jealous and stubborn, and his future course must be with great humility." Ibid. 631. The next article opened with the words, "I was shown the course of G. W. H. Holt and S. W. R. Rhodes. Although reproved, they have not corrected their wrongs. The people of God have been affected by their wrong course, especially in the state of New York." Ibid. 636. The article titled "The Cause in Ohio" began, "Since our visit to Ohio in the spring of 1858, G. W. H. Holt has done what he could to exert an influence against us, and where he thought he could affect individuals, he has done so by circulating reports to stir up wrong feelings. A message was given me in regard to him and his family when we visited Ohio in the spring of 1858. This testimony was given to him. But very few persons knew that I had a message for him. He rose in rebellion against it, and, like some others who have been reproved, took the position that persons had prejudiced my mind against his family, when the vision pointed out the same faults in his family which I had repeatedly seen for 10 years. He said that he believed the visions, but I was influenced by others in writing them." Ibid. 638, 39. Near the close of the pamphlet, Ellen White included counsel regarding evangelistic work in new places. "I saw that when the messengers enter a new place, their labor is worse than lost unless they bear a plain, pointed testimony. They should keep up the distinction between the Church of Jesus Christ and formal, dead professors. There was a failure in P. Parkville. Brother J. N. A. Andrews was fearful of offending, fearful lest the peculiarities of our faith should appear, and the standard was lowered down to the people." God's servants must bear appointed testimony. It will cut the natural heart and develop character. Brethren J. N. A. and J. N. L. Loughborough moved with a perfect restraint upon them while in peace. Such preaching will never do the work that God designs to have accomplished. Ibid. 659-61. The last testimony included two names, rather than initials. I was pointed back to the meeting in Iowa City. Brother Cornell felt the burden of the cause. S. Everett had a spirit of opposition. His testimony was not in union with the work of God. Ibid. 663. In this 64-page pamphlet, testimony number 6, in which initials and names were used, Ellen White met her objective. All believers could now have a clear view of the situation and could relate to it accordingly. Most of those who were brought to the front, clearly identified by the use of their initials, with a showing of their weaknesses and mistakes, came to see their true condition. Their acknowledgments and confessions during the next few months were published in the review. It was a bitter and severe experience for Ellen White and for the church, but one she felt she must endure in being true to her calling. When the time came 10 years later for the republication of testimony number 6, Ellen White substituted blanks for the initials, thus allowing the messages to stand for their inherent and continued value, divested of personalities. She loved and respected her brethren. She would not hurt them if they could be spared.